Welcome to our Arnie's birthday Zoom, March 25th. This guy can't be 43 years old. It's impossible, but we all remember him as number 34. So we have a little flip here on this March 25th. But Nico Koudevitis joins us, one of the all-time fan favorites at linebacker for Purdue, longtime NFL career, successful. We'll talk a little bit about what he's doing now, but successful in business as well. But Nico, 43 is a good age. Happy birthday to you, man.
Thank you. Great to be here. And it's always good to be to see the old golden black. It's been a while seeing those articles pass through the dormitories at Wiley Hall and on campus there in West Lafayette, but it's always good to see that.
Yeah, we loved covering you in the day with Brian Newbert and staff. You guys were entertaining, and you were damn good, and that was the other thing, and that part is a big thing. All right, I always ask this question about what were birthdays like growing up in your childhood. You weren't in the middle of football season. I guess, suppose that was a good thing, but in some ways. But tell me about that as a young person. What was that? What was a typical birthday growing up?
So, being that both my parents are immigrants, migrated to this country from the Greek descent, I've been very fortunate enough that I was born on Greek Independence Day, which is March 25th.
Ah, I didn't know that.
And obviously it's a huge holiday and celebration for the country of Greece and those Greek Americans here that live in the United States. So that was a special part of it. And you know, my mother and father and my entire family that migrated over, all in the restaurant business. And don't ask me why, but that's where they found their love and passion for, and they became restaurateurs, and you know how that goes, a lot of hours. It's a tough business at times, and especially during the pandemic, but they've always seemed to find their way out of it, and they continue to work today at the ages that they're at. They're both in their 70s. They work a lot of hours. That's just a European mindset. But those days, you know, we would go to the restaurant, and my father and mother would cook something with my brothers, because I'm one of three boys. I'm the youngest. And then we would have some family over, and, you know, they would do a small little cake, sing happy birthday, and give some presents out, whatever. You know, we always want at that time, much different than it is today, but it was probably some sort of video game or some toy, thing of that nature. But they were fun. They're good memories. And, you know, as we continue to get older, now I have three boys of my own, and their birthdays come, and we try to make them a special time so they can remember them, as because, you know, time just flies by really quickly, and we want those to be special times that they enjoy.
And well said, and a good tact with the three kids to enjoy it all. And it sounds like you're doing that. All right, bring us up to date on what's going on in your professional life. Obviously, if I'm looking at LinkedIn correctly, you're in Fairfield, Connecticut, which is kind of home-ish area. With Scala Partners, if I'm pronouncing that right. But give us a little bit of what's up with you on a professional basis.
Yeah, so I was going into my eighth year in the NFL, and I'm sure everybody remembers the ownership, the owners had a disagreement with the players, which is the collective bargaining agreement. So there was a dispute. So we had a work stoppage. I think it was 2009 or 2010, somewhere around there. And at that time, I was getting into the latter part of my career, and obviously, any football player knows at some point it's going to end. Nobody plays forever. My brother was working for an institutional developer in Manhattan, working on larger development products. And I went into the player development's office when I was with the Patriots at the time. And I said, hey, since we can't come to the facility anymore, can you latch me on with a developer locally, either in the Boston area or New York or Connecticut, that I can go job shadow and intern for. So he hooked me up with the developer in Westchester County, and I basically would go and shadow the gentleman. And, you know, we would go into municipalities and look at tax liens, look at subdivisions, zoning regulations, And as I continued to get some exposure in real estate, I said, wow, interesting. If you can purchase strategic real estate in good locations, it can be very prosperous. So as I did that, obviously the owners in the union came to an agreement. We went back to work. And, you know, every so often I would have a conversation with my brother, you know, where he stood in his career, working for an institutional company in Manhattan. And at some point after that 08 hit with the housing, the whole housing market, really their major capital investor was not willing to seek out new deals. So he was kind of sitting on the shelf. And we just said at the time, okay, maybe we just kind of pick something off non-institutionally, something small in Connecticut, and we try to develop something for a little bit of cash flow. And fast forward like 2 years later, I sat in Belichick's office and he basically says, you know, it's time to move on. And I said, no problem, coach. I feel the same way. I knew it was my time. And my brother decided to leave his firm and we started our platform, which is called Scala Partners, which is a development company mostly focused on multifamily projects, typically what you're seeing all over the country. Anywhere, our first building was, excuse me, a little boutique building, 18 units in a great little town center. And then we went to 100 units and 160 units. And now we're focused on a 200 unit project. So it really kind of metastasized into the from development into construction, which I took building construction management at Purdue my first right. couple of years with Stuart Schweigert until Joe Tiller called us in the office and he says, these labs are interfering with a lot of our practice times. you guys really need to figure out what you want to do. And we said, all right, coach, we get the point. So we transferred into, you know, business management and kind of the rest was history. We were both fortunate enough to get drafted and continue our career in the NFL. But I'm extremely busy, extremely fortunate. The business, the multifamily mixed use projects around the entire country has taken off. I mean, I'm assuming Indiana on campus, off campus, Texas, South Carolina, Connecticut, you name it, they're building them. And we've been fortunate enough to take advantage of that very, very popular and demanding mix. That use has been very popular here, especially in the Northeast, but definitely around the country.
Yeah. What, you know, you look, and this isn't a job interview for you, but I'm always curious to what tipped you. I mean, you obviously, your family, hard work, you played like you were a hard worker. There's, you know, there was no messing around when number 34 was running around for Purdue. I get that. But what, you know, now that you look at it through the lens of 20 years since you've been at Purdue, just what has been that skill set that you've needed to continue to develop to make it at the level that you want to be professionally?
Well, I think being a student athlete, period, doesn't matter which sport, kind of defines you as a purpose in a number of different ways, right? It creates a lot of responsibilities, a lot of discipline, work ethic. But it really creates structure in our life, right? We're kind of like, we always say we're creatures of habits, right? And those habits, no matter what they are, we want to continue doing. And whether it's continuing to play sports or moving on and transitioning into the real world, I try to apply a lot of those traits that I learned. And hard work and sacrifice is a major one. Not only sacrificing and taking huge risks financially, but you're taking an extraordinary amount of time away from your family on sacrificing that time to, again, try to prosper and build a future. That's not easy. Again, any athlete transitioning out of professional, whether that's baseball, basketball, you know the horror stories, right? Yeah. The certain percentages are either broke, divorced, struggling with addiction. I mean, those are very high percentages for people that have done one thing their whole lives and then now it's over. And how do you transition into the real world and feel that gratitude and fulfillment that you were getting as being a pro? You're not being compensated even close to what you were, right? You may be now home full time with a wife and, you know, could be multiple kids, could be, you know, no kids. And then you have to try to find something that you somewhat like to enjoy that can fulfill a little bit of that passion that you had in sports, right? So it's really like a perfect storm that hits guys. So what I try to give as much advice To the younger players, prepare yourself tremendously. Not only financially, but prepare your mindset that it is going to end one day. Network and try to figure out what you want to do and you'll enjoy doing. So this way you're ahead of the game when that happens. And I'm sure we can talk a little bit about NIL, which is, you know, much different than when we were playing. But again, I think the NCAA has kind of screwed up a number of things. But paying the players, I thought, was very, very important. I just don't think the structure that they have it today makes the most sense. You know, and I'm sure a lot of people have an opinions. I wish the money, a portion of the money, would go into some sort of escrow account so that when these kids do graduate, they have some economic foundation where if they wanted to purchase a home or they have some stability, because everybody's not getting jobs. Everybody's not going to the pros, right? So if they can build for the future, I think that's more helpful, because again, we were all young, 17, 18 years old, and then you start putting, you know, a serious amount of money in our pockets, I'm not sure we're making the best decisions.
Well said. And yeah, we could go on for hours in it, but your perspective, and you were one of the first ones, I don't know, and I can't remember. And it was, you had some t-shirts, as I remember, the hammer and the nail, and I can't, and I don't, was, tell me the story, was that,
I'm not getting into someone,
but you were for one of the, you were entrepreneurial as a player as much as you could be in those days, it seemed. Am I remembering that?
A fan base created.
I still have that t-shirt, by the way, somehow.
Neeks Freaks t-shirts. The fan base created Neeks Freaks t-shirts, which was great. You know, when you're walking into a stadium and you see a whole crowd wearing those shirts, it gives you reassurance, like you got to better step up and be ready to play today out there to show those guys that you're fighting for not only that your teammates, but the fan base as well.
All right. One thing you said that was interesting, many things you said that was interesting, but one thing, your last conversation with Bill Belichick, and as a competitive, as a guy that you were, and you had to be, I mean, you had stops in Seattle, Tampa Bay, you were in a Super Bowl with New England. But when you have that conversation with a coach who you, I would guess, respected a great deal, but they tell you it's time, and yet you're a competitive guy. What went through your head in terms of, all right, I'm going to push this longer, or maybe he's right in terms of that? I mean, what was your mindset at that moment?
Yeah, it is mixed, right? Because when you're feeling good, you're at your highest strength of working out and training. You're like, I can play. I got five more. I got four more. I got three more, whatever it may be. And then you go through training camp, and training camp is miserable, right? You're beat up, and you're going through a very long season. And you start to question yourself at times because, you know, we all have injuries, right? You start dealing with these injuries, and they feel like they're never going to heal because you continue to re-injure them and hurt them. I mean, the season is a long, tough season in the NFL. And so you question yourself at that time, can I play another one? And then the offseason comes, you refresh, and you're like, I want to continue playing. When I got called in, it was the end of training camp. I think we were going into our last preseason game against the Giants, and Coach Belichick called me in. I was on my 10th year. So I was able to get at least 9 in the bucket. I really wanted 10. That's like a milestone guys really want to achieve. But I had pretty bad nerve injury in my neck, down in my arm, lower back issues. And when he told me and sat me down, that was one thing about Coach Belichick. And, you know, as phenomenal as he coach, what you respect more is your boss or your employer is honest to you and not sugarcoating anything. And he was very blunt and honest. And I respect that from him. And he's like that with all players. But I respected that. And I knew at that time, because one, I was working behind the scenes on the development side, and we just had gotten this small little boutique 18 unit apartment building approved. So it was getting ready to move into construction. So I was ready for it that moment. And I knew once he told me the day I left, I was essentially at work working for Scala. in the development side and then eventually into the construction side of things. So I had, my transition was very, very fortunate. It was prepared that way. And it turned out to be probably one of the best decisions I made.
Couple more questions I want to ask you, obviously, about your playing career and looking at Purdue and looking back at that, you know, tremendous amount of success. As your freshman year, you get a chance to go to the Rose Bowl. You play at an all Big Ten level. I still think maybe the 2003 team might have been the best team of them all. But tell me about just kind of what your takeaway is from your experience for playing for Coach Joe Tiller and Brock Spack. Those kind of guys and what they've meant to you over the years.
Yeah, I mean, really the credit goes to that coaching staff. Again, the world has really changed now, right? The Big Ten is now expanding more teams, right? At some point, it's probably going to be two conferences and no more of all the other conferences. That's just the way it seems like it's going. But at that time, right, you're always competing against these historical universities like the Michigans and the Ohio States, right? Which always, you know, the middle of the pack and the lower end of the Big Ten teams always got overlooked. So when you create a buzz around a really special quarterback, you compete in the Alamo Bowl against Kansas State, right? You make that huge upset, right? And you tell your staff to go find players that meet the mold of bring your lunch pail to work every single day and work hard and good things will happen. And that's what Coach Tiller and his staff went out and did. And, you know, the group of guys that came in, the bonds we created would last forever. We had that fortunate opportunity to go to California, to Pasadena, and just build more of that relationship we had with each other. I think that whole entire offensive line got drafted. Obviously, Matt Light went out, one of my teammates when I went to New England, went out and I think won three Super Bowls in the first 3 years he left Purdue. Kind of like Karlaftis, he's got two under his belt. Yeah. He just left Purdue. I mean, some guys just hit it right. I mean, Breeze having his obviously super Hall of Fame career and a number of other guys. And, you know, you got to really give credit to that staff. They had a mold of who they were looking for. High character guys, smart guys, worked hard, would fight tough. And they really put that together. And then as the offense, which dominated for a long period of time there with Breeze, then our defense was really what came to fruition and really started to dominate on the national level. I mean, I think 8 guys on defense got drafted my senior year. And then we had Nick Hardwick on the offense who made the 9th player. So just a special group of guys. All my credit goes to that coaching staff being able to do that when there's so many other distractions out there. And you know, the recruiting game is a dirty game. And they were able to go out and seek the guys they wanted, and they coached hard. They coached us the right way. They coached us to be tough. And that's what we went out and did. And I thought we represented that very, very well for the university.
Yeah, you will always be an all-time favorite just because of that. You were the original Greek freak. George Karlaftis is not the original Greek freak. I try to tell people that. And as great as George is going to be, and he is, I think, going to be, I don't know, I'm curious just your evaluation, because he seems to me high motor, high character, hard worker. He is going to be a all-pro level guy. Do you see that for him down the road?
Yeah, I wish I got to meet him in person. You know,
you'd like him. You're similar.
Yeah, he's got a great story. And I know he was born in Greece, right? And migrated over.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Right. Yes. And then he ended up in West Lafayette. I know that. And he has a brother as well, right? That played at Purdue.
Right. And right. Yanni is playing well. He is a junior on the team. I'm drawing a complete blank. Does he wear your number?
I don't think so.
He's 34, but anyway, Yanni is going to probably start this year as well for
Yeah, I think he's going to have a great career at Kansas City on an all-pro level. I mean, you can just see him. He definitely makes a difference out there. He's got a high motor. He's relentless. And he's obviously understands the game very, very well. Purdue, again, the defense and outside linebackers that they've produced that have gone into the NFL and just had these phenomenal careers is just it's an amazing feat.
Yeah. And I'm having a Monday morning. I got too much NCAA tournament on my brain. Yanni is number 14, not number 34, but really hardworking guy and is working to make his way in college football. George has been work on connecting you guys. You need to talk to each other. He's a great, and the thing about George that you'd be proud of is his development, you know, coming in and learning leadership, becoming a leader, especially in his last year at Purdue, and getting Purdue to a very good bowl game as well. He's done that, and I think he's in a good spot. Like I said, it's helpful when you go to you get drafted where he did and be able to play with an established team and not have to be a star right away. I think that was a positive thing as well. So, all right, got to ask NCAA basketball because it is the topic of the day. And Purdue, after last year, you couldn't wear your Purdue stuff out and around too much. Now you can. But you understand sport as well as anyone. This is a pretty special outfit. Yes, Zach Edey is really good, but it seems to me we know they're very well coached. But there's a lot of pieces to this group. It's not just like when you were there, it wasn't just Kyle Orton and Drew Brees. It was Nico Kudavitis and it was Craig Terrell and it was others. Tell me about what you see from did you watch yesterday? I assume you did. And yes. I assume you'll be tuned in on Friday night when Purdue takes on Gonzaga.
I did watch yesterday. And the I call them the boys, but the team played very, very well. Edey obviously is just a monster in the middle. The way they're dishing down the ball, and then once a double team comes, he dishes it back. Guys were hitting three pointers. It was nice to see good fluid basketball, good shooting, great defense. I mean, when you see 100 points put up in a college game, team is playing really, really well and working on all cylinders. Unfortunately, I live in the state of Connecticut, and Connecticut has a very
good
basketball team. So hope for a showdown here because they got a big kid, I think, from Bristol, Connecticut, that's about 6'4" or 7'4", something like that. So it will be interesting. Again, as being a former athlete, all you really want to see is really good competition. And I want to see Purdue this year. You know, after what happened last year, this is kind of that redemption here to go as far as they can. And hopefully they can win this whole thing. That would be fantastic for the university, Coach Painter, that whole staff. Again, when you take that much heat the year before, there's still a lot of pressure on you, but the guys are playing real well and they just got to continue to build on that.
Yeah, I think we all say, at least from a Purdue perspective, get to the Final Four and you'll sort it out. Yeah, Donovan Klingon's really good, but boy, Zach Edey is really, really good, as you well point. All right. Yeah. Thanks so much for your time and what a privilege to have to share a little bit of time and your insight. Happy Greek Independence Day. I won't forget. Thank now you. I'll remember that going in. That's a big thing. Best to you and your family. And thank you. I always say to guys that were so good to us over the years and our staff, we enjoyed it. One thing, and you kind of hit on that, it's not quite Ryan Walters. I don't know if you've had a chance to be in front of him. Great guy. And you'd love his defensive perspective. I think he's going to have a challenge, but I think he may get there. But it's not the same as when you had Jim Chaney and Joe Tiller and Brock Spack to talk to all the time. But we and a cast of characters, because you guys were in a good way. And there wasn't enough social media to really be a problem in your
No,
in
thank
your
goodness. Time. Yeah, thank goodness. Alan, I appreciate
all right,
it.
Reached out
to me to try to get back to a game. It's difficult because my three boys all play football and I'd like them to come with me, right, to experience that. They reached out to try to do an honorary captain to one of the home games this year. So hopefully I can make it happen. If not this year, it's going to happen soon. I just want my family and my boys to be out there at the same time to enjoy that same experience.
Yeah, you love it. The stadium is great. What they redid with it is great. The atmosphere is good. And Ryan Walters has got a lot of energy. You'd love playing for him, I think. And he's the kind of guy that you would love to have. Hey, one quick question. Your boys' ages are, may I ask?
My oldest turns 15 in 2 days on the 27th. My middle one is 13 and my youngest is 11.
And are they all linebackers, or what do they like to do? I know they probably like to hit people, but what do they play? Yeah,
my youngest is my linebacker. He emulates most of me at the 11-year-old position. The other two are, you know, safeties and wide receivers.
All right. Well, thanks so much for your time, and enjoy the rest of the day. I'm sure you will. And we appreciate that. It's so great to get reconnected with you, and we appreciate that very much.
Likewise. Have a great one.
All right, we'll be back. We'll have another Arnie's Birthday Zoom before long. These are a lot of fun to do, and we'll look forward to the next one down the road. Thanks for taking the time to watch and listen, and we'll see you down the road.